Thank you so much, Pastor. It is an honor to be here. And I just want to, first of all, say to you, Lancaster Baptist Church, thank you for your support of our ministry. My wife is with me. She's over here somewhere. If you'll raise your hand, thank the Lord for a wonderful wife. And you support us in the ministry God has given to us through BIMI. And it is really a privilege to partner with you in the Great Commission. And I'm thankful for the BIMI missionaries and the other good missionaries that you support here, the missions-hearted church that you are, and the time that you're taking these next few days to emphasize missions and the Great Commission. Just to give you a quick testimony of mine, then we'll get right into the Word of God. I was saved at the age of 8 and thankful for that. Called to missions when I was 10 years old. Went to Bible college. That's where I met my wife. Then we went to the field of Alaska. Spent 10 years in Alaska helping to plant a church in Juneau and then planting a church in Talkeetna. Then 19 years ago, we moved back to Chattanooga, Tennessee area, which is where BIMI is. I became the Far North Director, did that for 7 years, and now for the last 12 years, been serving as the President and General Director of BIMI. Thankful for the two sons that God has given to us, and now also two daughter-in-laws. The sons were okay, but the daughter-in-law, that's really a good thing. We've been enjoying that. Our youngest son and his wife graduated from West Coast Baptist College. Thankful for the ministry they're involved in. Our oldest son and his wife, they're also involved in full-time ministry. And we are expecting our first grandchild the end of this month. So we're excited about a lot of things, all right? But I'm really excited to share God's word. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. I'm going to look at the last several verses of this chapter, verse 28, verse 29, and verse number 30. Matthew chapter number 11, verses 28 through 30. Now, as you're turning there and as you see what these verses are, you know, probably some of you, the first thought that's going to come to your mind is, Brother Snyder, these are not typical missions verses. This is not Matthew 28, you know, this is not Mark. And, you know, where are you going with this? And I would say to you, hold on. Because although right now you may not see missions in these three verses, I pray that by the end of this message, you will see missions. By the way, as far as I'm concerned, you can find missions from Genesis to Revelation everywhere you look, because that's God's heartbeat. So Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse number 28, here's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the testimonies, the presentations, the music, all that we have enjoyed thus far. And now, Lord God, as we have opened your word and as I have read it, Lord, I'm asking for your help and I'm asking for the filling of your Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to be empty of myself so that I can be filled with you. And Lord God, I pray that you would do a great work in each one of our hearts and lives. If there's somebody here today that does not know you as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. From these verses, I want you to see four, I'm going to call them action words, and I want you to highlight them in your mind or circle them in your mind. Number one, in verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me. So emphasize that word, the word come. And then verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. And then later in verse 29, he says, and learn, that's our third action word. He says, learn of me. And then finally, as you continue there in verse 29, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find, that's our fourth action word. He says, find rest unto your souls. So here we have four things in this message that I would like to emphasize that Jesus Christ is saying to us. First, we find the plea of Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me. Then he has a plan. When we go to him, he has a plan. That plan, take my yoke upon you. And then as we do, number three, he has a pattern for us. He says, learn of me. Jesus Christ is the pattern. And then in all of this, he has a promise. He says, you will find rest unto your souls. So first of all, notice this plea of Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me. I want to emphasize that this is an open invitation to one and all. He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. the very beginning of this message, I want to remind you that there are a lot of people in this world who are laboring for their salvation. And this invitation, first and foremost, we have to mention here, is an invitation to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. And perhaps you're here this morning, or perhaps you're listening online, and you've been laboring for a salvation, trying to work for salvation. You are heavy laden with that thought of, how can I gain eternal life? Oh, Jesus says we're to come to him. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Jesus said, I will give you rest. How? By ceasing from our own works and trusting completely in him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, Jesus said, but by me. If you're here today and there's never been a time in your life when you have come to Jesus and gone to him and him alone for salvation, the first thing we want to mention here is that Jesus is inviting you today. By the way, it's interesting. Every other religion in the world says do, but Jesus says come. Why? Because he's already done it all. There's nothing more to be done. So come to Jesus. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, realize that this goes beyond just salvation, this invitation, this plea that Jesus makes. It continues as we serve him. He says, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and in life there are many burdens to bear, and there are many things that are difficult to do. And the emphasis of this week is a difficult task that Jesus Christ has given to us, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. I want to remind us this morning, it is important that we do not do this work in our own strength. We need to cease from our own labors and our own striving. And as the psalmist says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Because Jesus says, I will give you rest. How? Only as we cease from trying to figure out a way to do it ourselves. It's interesting, as you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he was quite an amazing man, quite an amazing missionary. And as he served the Lord, he had this thorn in the flesh, very difficult thing for him. And he spent, I believe, 3 seasons of prayer praying, God, please, would you take away this thorn in the flesh? Would you, take it away so that I can better serve you? And he learned a great lesson that day, and that lesson remains for you and I. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And this morning, it's important for you and I, as we enter into this challenge concerning the Great Commission, to understand our weakness, that we cannot do this in and of our own strength. Paul understood what it was to rely on the grace of God. God told him his grace would be sufficient. And indeed, God's grace was sufficient. And God used Paul in an amazing way. And so Paul tells Timothy, and Paul tells you and I, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And today, as we look to what God would have us to do concerning the Great Commission, let us rely not on our own strength, our own ingenuity, but on his strength that we find only through our weakness, through his grace that he provides for us, as Paul challenged the church at Corinth concerning this offering that we're talking about here today, grace giving, or this missions offering, faith promise. He said to the church at Corinth, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That grace is still available for you and I. You say, Brother Snyder, I understand what you're saying, but you know, the Apostle Paul didn't know what was going on overseas and the war that was there. He didn't understand gas prices the way they would be. He didn't understand inflation. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, he probably had a whole lot worse than you and I do. If we really understand what the Apostle Paul was going through, and God's grace was sufficient for him, God's grace was sufficient for the church at Corinth, God's grace is sufficient for you and I. All we need do is come, respond to the plea of Jesus Christ. So as we do, number two, God then has a plan for us. He says, take my yoke upon you. And when we say here, take his yoke, that is not just endure it because we have to do it. No, we're to gladly take his yoke. And as you think about the yoke, perhaps you have in your mind a picture of a wooden structure, a wooden piece of farm equipment that was used to tie together two animals that they would then pull a wagon or a plow or something like that. As you think about and put that picture in your mind, there's probably several things that come to your mind that I want to remind you about that are associated with the yoke. Number one, hard work. Now, that's something that a lot of people don't really like to talk about today. But when we're going to talk about the Great Commission, when we're going to talk about getting the gospel to nearly 8 billion people, it's going to take a lot of hard work. You see, the yoke is about endurance and exercise. It is not about entertainment and excitement. Are we willing to do the hard work that needs to be done when it comes to the Great Commission? Are we really ready to labor in prayer? Not just to throw up a prayer or two about missions, but to labor in prayer. Are we willing to labor in giving? This should be more than us just throwing a few coins to the Lord and saying, hey, let's see what God can do with missions. No, Paul says we're to abound in this grace also. Are we ready to labor in our giving? And how about laboring in our going? That's going across the street. That's going to our family members. That's reaching our Jerusalem right here. But also we need to labor in our going all the way around the world. And again, I remind you, perhaps there's somebody here that God is speaking to about full-time missionary service. Oh, the need is great. God is looking for and he is calling laborers. Perhaps that's you. Are you ready to get with the hard work that needs to be done? So hard work, here's another one, submission. The yoke was about submission, submitting to the one who was putting on the yoke. And you and I need to bow in submission to Jesus Christ and say, whatever yoke it is that you have for me, Lord, I'm ready to take that yoke upon myself. And I thought about what the psalmist said. He says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. What we're really talking about here is worship. You know, there's a difference between respect and worship. Respect, if you were to come to me while I was sitting down here before or after the service and you were coming to speak to me, I would stand out of respect for you and I would shake your hand. I would say hello. That's the way I was trained. That's just the way I do. And that's just me. If maybe somebody of importance came through the back door back there and they were held an office, even if we didn't necessarily respect what they believe, we would respect the office and maybe we would stand out of respect for them. But here's the difference. You see, if Jesus Christ came through that door back there, we would not stand out of respect. We would bow in worship of him and who he is. And when it comes to the yoke, you and I need to bow and say to him, Lord, I'll take whatever yoke it is that you have for me. Bowing in submission. I remember when I was growing up, we got a horse, a colt, and I'd never broken a horse before. And it's by the way, it's a lot different than the old Westerns where they just jumped on and held on for dear life. You know, there's a lot more work involved than that. And I remember that the whole idea of getting the bit into the horse's mouth was quite interesting. And it took a lot of work. And we had to kind of develop a relationship, if you will, with the horse and kind of get the horse to trust us. By the way, a little bit of honey on the bit didn't hurt at all either, okay? So, you know, before that horse was willing to submit to us, the horse really didn't have any purpose. Just kind of hung out in the barnyard or hung out in the pasture, did its thing. But once we could gain the trust of that horse, put the bit in his mouth, put the saddle on his back, boy, then the horse had a purpose. And we could use him, if you will, for our enjoyment and hopefully for his too. Hey, with God, some of us, I'm afraid we do kind of like that horse I had did at first. You know, we put that bit up there and the horse would do this, you know, back away, didn't want it. Sometimes I think we're challenged with the Great Commission and our first response sometimes is we back away. Lord, that's too much. Oh, how important it is that we develop a relationship with God because he loves us and he wouldn't give us anything that would hurt us. He wants to give us purpose in our lives, something that we can glorify him as we obey him. So submission. Here's another one, focus. Focus is so needed when it comes to the yoke. You know, a lot of times they put blinders on the animals. Why? Because they wanted to focus on the task that is before them. And aren't there a lot of things in our world today that will distract us from what Jesus Christ said we are to focus on? Jesus told us to lift up our eyes and look on the fields. Why? Because they're white already unto harvest. Let's not be distracted by all those things that we mentioned a moment ago that are going on in the world, because they're going to continue and there's going to be other things that are going to come along. But I'll tell you what, Jesus is still going to be reminding us to keep our focus on the lost of this world and the great need that there is. Oh, and then I also thought about this one, teamwork. You hook up a mule with an ox, it just doesn't work. You know, you got to get everything working together and working in syncing together. Why? Because if you don't have teamwork, the task that's supposed to be accomplished won't get accomplished, or at least won't get accomplished effectively. What a wonderful thing it is when it comes to missions that we can labor together and that we can labor together with God. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful thing here as a local church. You are having the opportunity to individually do what God's laying on your hearts to do when it comes to missions, but then corporately to labor together to see what God's going to do through this local church to win the world for Jesus Christ. And as Pastor mentioned, the position that I hold, it's a unique position in that I get to see some 7,000 plus independent Baptist churches that are doing the same thing, all contributing to missionaries that many of whom you support, and to see what God's doing worldwide. It's an amazing thing. But it all starts with our willingness to individually do what God's asking us to do so that corporately God can use us and we can see that teamwork happen and accomplish that which the owner of the field wants to be accomplished. That is the Great Commission. So we need to move on. The plea, come unto me. The plan, take my yoke upon you. And now number three, the pattern. Jesus says, learn of me. What are we supposed to learn of Jesus? Well, number one, first of all, he says, for I am meek. I am meek. The word meek, here's a definition. I just want to read this to you. I think it's so good. It means mild, or by implication, humble, gentle. An attitude of humility toward God and gentleness toward men, springing from a recognition that God is in control. Although weakness and meekness may look similar, they're not the same. Weakness is due to negative circumstances, such as lack of strength or lack of courage, but meekness is due to a person's conscious choice. It is strength and courage under control, coupled with kindness. Oh, indeed, Jesus Christ was meek, power under control. He had all power. He is all powerful. He is the God of heaven, but he submitted himself to the will of the Heavenly Father and said, I will do what the Father wants me to do. He says, for I am meek. You and I need to be meek when it comes to the Great Commission. What are some characteristics of the meek? Well, let me just mention two very quickly this morning. Number one, the meek are satisfied. The Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. You know, when we talk about missions, we talk about how the missionaries go to some unusual places and they kind of have to be, if you will, satisfied with where God has put them there and to maybe sometimes endure some things that you and I don't necessarily have to endure. And I thought about Paul. He says in Philippians chapter 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Yes, that is important for the missionaries, but I want to remind us here this morning, that's important for you and I too. We need to have an attitude of contentment with what the Lord has given to us. You see, we don't necessarily have to have the newest, greatest phone that just came out yesterday and pick it up no matter what it costs because I've got to have it. Why? Because you know what? God may speak to us about giving an offering that we may have to give up that newest, greatest phone. And we don't necessarily have to have a TV that's as big as the football field itself, okay? We might have to be content with something just a little bit smaller. Hey, we need to be meek. We need to learn how to be content, to be satisfied with that which the Lord has given to us. And the meek also, number two, they delight in peace. The psalmist said, Psalm 37, verse number 11, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The abundance of peace. How does that fit into missions? Well, let me give you missions in a nutshell and lead you up to the answer to that question. Romans chapter number 10 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And that's missions in a nutshell. But then Paul goes on and says, as it is written, how beautiful are them that preach the gospel of what? Peace. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. And you know, missions is all about loving that message of peace that we have to give to a lost and dying world. Those that are, who are at enmity with God because of their sin, but we have a wonderful message of Jesus Christ, of how they can enjoy peace with God through Jesus Christ. We need to be meek, follow his pattern of meekness. But number two, Jesus says that he is lowly in heart. I thought about Philippians chapter number two here. Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, or we could say here, lowliness of heart. And then he goes on there to give the example of Jesus Christ. Verse 5 of Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the first thing he talks about is his sacrificial heart. He says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God? He says, I'm going to sacrifice that which, you know, I've enjoyed in heaven, and I'm going to come to this earth and do the will of the Heavenly Father. But he talks about his servant's heart in verse 7 of Philippians 2, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. That's for you and I. We're to follow his example. But number three, Jesus Christ had the submitted heart in Philippians 2, 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, what an example Jesus Christ gives us. Oh, what a wonderful pattern he is for us as we do his will in our lives. But finally, and maybe the best part of the passage of scripture that we're looking at today, number four, the promise that Jesus gives. He says, we shall find rest unto our souls. Obviously, as we said before, number one, that starts with salvation. But that continues as we serve him. What's part of this promise? What's an interesting part of this passage of scripture? He says, number one, he says, for my yoke is easy. And then number two, he says, my burden is light. Now, those are interesting things that Jesus gives. He says, for my yoke is easy. And we've just talked about how when we think about a yoke, we think about hard work. We think about things that are difficult. So how can Jesus say that it's easy? Well, I think this is what Jesus means. He has a yoke for us that is custom made just for us. And I'm going to even say this, it's a yoke that is lined with love. Amen. It's a yoke that if we use, it will make the job easy. Amen. You see, it's like a comfortable pair of shoes, okay? You see, I've got several pairs of shoes in my closet, and I put the ones on that my wife says matches with what I wear. I do good with that, okay? Now, there's some I put on, and I wear them throughout the day, and it's just pretty uncomfortable. You know, there's times when nobody's looking. I'll slip them off when I'm underneath. You got my feet under my desk, but when I get home, man, the first thing I do is I take those shoes off because they did their job, but, man, they were uncomfortable. But then there's other shoes I have. They're pretty comfortable. I like them. You know, I put them on in the morning and I don't really even think about them the rest of the day because they're doing their job. They're comfortable. I come in at the end of the day and I sometimes forget to take my shoes off because they're a comfortable pair of shoes. You see, the yoke that Jesus Christ has for us is like those comfortable shoes. We can put it on and we can be comfortable. It will make the job easy rather than trying to put on our own yoke that doesn't really fit us. That maybe, yeah, we can sort of get the job done, but boy, we're ready to get the yoke off just as soon as we can. He says, my yoke is easy. That's the yoke I want to wear. And then he says this, my burden is light. Again, this at first reading doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense because we're talking about burdens, we're talking about work, but he says it makes it light. And here's what I think about when I think about this. I remember as a little boy, my dad would come home from the feed store and the pickup truck was just full of the different kinds of feeds that we needed for the animals that we had. And at first, I couldn't even begin to lift any of them, but they were heavy. And as I got older, Dad taught me how to pick up those bags. And I sometimes wish he wouldn't have ever taught me how to do that. That was pretty rough, you know. But I realized after a while that, you know, putting that burden on my back, man, it was heavy. And I could sometimes just barely make it to where it was supposed to go. But if I were to take that same feed bag and I were to drop it on a wagon and then I were to pull it, boy, it just made that so light compared to it being a burden on my shoulder. And perhaps even if I put a couple of bags on there and got Dad to help me, the two of us would get together and pull it. Boy, it would make it so much lighter. And you know, that's how the yoke of Jesus Christ is for us. The yoke helps us. It makes the burden lighter. And it's kind of like this. It's like having the right job, the right tool to do the job that needs to be done. Now, Gentlemen, if I don't get an amen here, but doesn't the right tool make all the difference in the world? Okay, yeah, praise the Lord. I got one amen today. That's good. Can you imagine if I had the job of building a deck and I put some of the decking out there and I came to one board and okay, it's about a foot too long. And I thought, all right, I think I need to cut it about there. And I put a little mark on it. I'd pull it back here and I'd lay it out and I'd get out my axe. And I'd take that axe, man, and I'd just start swinging at that thing, swinging. And I'm not real good with an axe, so I probably wouldn't hit it in the right spot every time. But eventually I would cut that board part off of it and I'd lay it back down there. You know, I may have accomplished the job, but you know, first of all, I just wore myself out. If you've ever swung an axe, you know what I'm talking about. And by the way, that would not pass inspection when it was all said and done. It just would never work. But you know, if I was smart and I had the right tools, I would go in and I'd get my speed square and I'd take a pencil and I'd put the mark on there where it's supposed to be. I'd go get the power saw and I'd plug it into the wall. And don't you see here the application to plugging into the power of the Holy Spirit? I'd put that thing out there where it could easily be sawn, and I take that saw and it's just like a hot knife through butter and lay it down. Boy, the job is done and it's done right. Amen. Using the right tool makes all the difference in the world. Hey, we can try and do this Great Commission thing by ourselves, picking up our axe and just swinging, doing it in our own strength. Or we can say to Jesus Christ, I want your yoke upon me. Amen. To make it easy, to make it light, to do what it is he's asking us to do. Oh, dear friend, as you look ahead to this next missions year and you say, God, what is it that you have for me? And you look at all the things going on around you. I want you to remember these things today. I want you to remember the plea of Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me. This is not something we're to do in our own strength. We're to come to him. Number two, remember, he has a plan. He has a plan for us. Take his yoke upon us. And as we do, we go throughout this life, Jesus says, hey, I am the pattern. He says, learn of me. I'm meek. I'm lowly in heart. And boy, we have much to learn from him. And I'm so glad today to tell you about the promise that he gives. It's a yoke that's lined with love, a yoke that is custom made for every single one of his children. The question is, are we willing to accept the invitation that he gives to bow our heads and our hearts to him to accept what he would have us to do for him, even though it's something that's beyond our capabilities, to trust him to do that which only he can do.